topic of Jewish meditation. We are today going to discuss Musar meditation. And we discussed five ways to access the subconscious. Belief, through our belief system, the person really deeply believes, the belief is accessing the subconscious, because the belief comes from the subconscious. Focus, when a person focuses their mind, most people don't focus their minds, they just live in the clouds. Focus their minds. When a person focuses their minds, they access their subconscious. When a person becomes emotional, that's interesting. Emotions come from the subconscious. A person's speech, sometimes a person says things which they don't really mean to say. It's a Freudian slip, right? That's where it came from, the Freudian slip. It's actually accessing the subconscious. And repetition. Repetition also. So, repetition, a person repeats. When a person repeats, they access the subconscious. So there's five different ways of accessing the subconscious. Number one is belief. Number two is focus. Number three, emotion. Number four is speech. And number five is emotion, is repetition. So repeating, that's the key. And that is how Rabbi Yisrael Salanter made Musar. Musar should be repeated, like a mantra. Repeated with emotion. So two things, two out of five keys. Repetition and emotion, plus you have the speech, plus you have the focus, and plus you have the belief. So all together, you have all five in this Musar. So the Musar movement, which is started by Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who lived in 1810 to 1883, right? 1810, not so long ago. Not too long ago. He started the Musar movement because a person can learn Torah and it doesn't affect them. It's very interesting. A person can learn Torah, and they don't become better people. You see it. A person learns Torah all day, nasty person. Or he's mean to his wife, or he's mean to his friends, or he's robs, or he steals. Why is that? And the answer is because the Torah did not affect the person. Did not go into the person. Did not affect the person. Why didn't it affect the person? Because they're not learning Torah in the way that it should affect them. And that's when Yisrael Salanter comes along and introduces us to a new way of learning, which he calls Musar. He says the only way through accessing the subconscious can one truly strengthen the good elements of one's psyche and take out the evil. Well, it's interesting how Freud came along years later and Yisrael Salanter beat him to it. The truth is, this is all from the Gemara. Yisrael Salanter says, if you don't change your subconscious, you won't change who you are. So a person has to access the subconscious and through that strengthen their good elements and then correct the root of their bad desires. And this way they can change their behavior and shape one's decisions and reactions. Amazing. Think about it. Amazing. The only way to change a person is by accessing the subconscious. Now, it's interesting. Freud did the opposite. Freud didn't want to change the person. Freud just wants the person to say why they're crazy. Right? Freud didn't try and change the subconscious. He just wanted to find out why the person is... Freud says the person has a lot of baggage in their subconscious. Things that happened to them when they were young. And that's why they became crazy. Plus, he says, this led to the permissive society, a terrible thing. He said, when a person tries to control their urges, they go crazy. And that led to the permissive society. That's Freud. Yisrael Salanter says, no, the opposite. We can access our subconscious to change ourselves. Okay? So Freud, you just sit on the couch and talk to the psychiatrist for 10 hours, telling him about your past and your parents and this and that. Yep. Does it change you? Not a drop. It doesn't change you. It just reinforces your beliefs. I see today, crazy. People are going to psychologists. And the more they go, the more crazy they get. Do you know why? Because the psychologists are not helping them. Why? They just wanted to regurgitate what they went through. Oh, my father abused me, and my mother abused me, and they keep on going, they start crying, my father abused me, it's getting worse and worse and worse. So, turn the page already. What are you doing? The person's going to say, How can I be a better person? How can I not abuse my children? That's what a person's got to focus on. A person's got to focus on the future, not the past. The past's not going to help you. The past only did teshuva. If it wasn't me, I don't have to do teshuva. My father abused me, so now what do I do? Turn the page and move on. But if I abuse someone, I gotta do teshuva. That's where the digging goes in. That's a very important point, because today's society, it's all upside down. It's totally upside down. People go to psychologists, on and on and on. And marriage therapy, marriage counseling, and it doesn't get the marriage better. I don't know a single marriage counselor who is effective, except for one, who's Rabbi Twersky. Not the main Rabbi Twersky, his nephew in Brooklyn. Well, I don't know. I never had someone go to the Rabbi Abraham Twersky, so I don't know. He must be very good as well. But I don't know anyone who was helped by a marriage counselor, which is very sad. It's very sad. Why? Because a marriage counselor, people go with their complaints. And when you go with complaints, it gets bigger, longer and longer. The list gets longer and longer. So what I tell people is, come to me with a list of all the good things you see. Ah, good things? I never thought about it. So why do you marry the person if he doesn't have good qualities? He must have good qualities. So think of the good things and think of how to build on those good things. You know, one of the other problems is there's no reinforcement for good things. The wife always complains, he did this to me and this. What about all the good things he did? Why didn't you compliment him? Oh, she does this. Why don't you compliment her for the good things that she does? That's positive reinforcement. That's how we raise our children, right? Today it's all about positive reinforcement. I'm so proud of you, you did this. I'm so happy you did this. I'm so happy you did this. And the child says, oh, you're happy? I'll make you happier. Since he applies in marriage. No, instead of marriage, we beat each other up. You didn't do this for me, and you didn't do that for me. What about all the good things I did? So, we have to realize the subconscious is not there to rehash the past. That's what Freud. Rehash the past, and rehash, and rehash, and rehash. Doesn't make things better. The subconscious is there for us to change it. That's Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. How do you change things in your subconscious? By learning Musar. We have to talk about that. So therefore he proposed a method to access the subconscious. With all five of the keys we said before, combining emotion and religious fervor with repetition, with faith, with focus, with speech. So all five things you can access your subconscious. Amazing. So he says, a person to penetrate and influence the subconscious has to use emotion. To repeat ethical teachings with turmoil in his spirit, with burning lips and a haunting tune. Say it aloud. Say it loud and sing it. Right? We're going to talk about what to say and what to sing. There's different. There's a beautiful list over here. For example, a person has a bad temper. A person should say to himself, Kol HaKoes, Kilu Oved Avodah Zarah. A person who has a temper, it's as if he worshipped idols. Like imagine, a person sings it to himself. Over and over again. A person who has temper is as if he worshipped idols. A person who gets in temper is like he worshipped idols. A person who has a temper and he screams it to himself. Eventually he'll penetrate. Say, how can I have a temper? I'm going to stop my temper. It's like worshipping idols. Terrible. So it's got to penetrate the subconscious, otherwise it's not serious. So we have two different ways. We talked about Rav Kalonymus Shapira, also in the 1800s, who says you should talk to yourself like you talk to a child. Soften. Right? Talk to a child in you. Why do you lose your temper, my son? It's not good for you. Where's it going to get you? So that's one way of talking to oneself. The other way is with emotion, with noise. To penetrate and to influence the subconscious, one has to use emotion. To repeat the ethical teachings with a burning lips and a haunting tune. And that's if you go to the yeshiva when they learn Musar, whatever, it's not enough, 15 minutes a day, whatever it is, they're screaming, singing, and shouting to themselves. And they're repeating the lines just over and over again, just that it penetrates. There's a line we say at the end of the introduction to Shacharit. As panim legeinam, boshe panim legan eden. A person with no shame goes to Geinam. And a person with shame will go to Gan Eden. Again, it's Musa. So he was learning over and over again. Repeat it to yourself. A person wants to be, says, I'm cruel. I'm a cruel person. How do I change myself? So quote, the Torah says, Kol ha-merachem al ha-briyot, whoever has mercy on other people, merachamin alav min ha-shamayim. Hashem has mercy on him. Gemara in Shabbat, 151. Whoever has mercy on others, Hashem has mercy on him. So now a person says, why am I cruel? If I have mercy on others, Hashem will have mercy on me, so I'm going to keep on. I want to become merciful. Hashem is called Harachaman, the merciful one. So now something bad happens to someone. And they say, what's going on over here? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God doing this? So there's another saying. The saying is, in Chulin 7b, En Adam no kef etzbao melamata, elam ken machrizin alam melamata. No person stubs his toe below without them announcing in the worlds above. Whatever happens to us already announced, already preordained. Right? The good and the bad happens to us preordained. So these are things that will help us change ourselves. Or a person says, I'm a very proud person. How do I get rid of the pride? So the Gemara says, the Ramban says in his letter to his son, right? The famous Igeret HaRamban, letter of the Ramban. Hamidgaye belibo, a person who is proud in his heart, mored hu machut shamayim, is rebelling against the kingship of God. Now, if I'm proud, I rebel against the kingship of Hashem. A person says it over and over again, over and over again. How can I be proud? So there's all sorts of sayings a person can get, say it over and over again. So you can imagine the 15 minutes of Musar, basically repeating one line over and over and over again with emotion, with excitement. And that brings it into the subconscious and will influence the character of the person at the core level. Okay? So now, before you do that, you got to first of all find out, what do I need? What is my weak point? What is my strong point? So, if my weak point is pride, say the one about pride. If my weak point is I'm embarrassed to serve Hashem, then I do need Azut, right? Over there it says you do need to be strong like a leopard. So it depends on the person's weakness. The person first got to do this. What are my weak points? And then he's got to find a saying that will enable him to change that weak point. Right? I'm going to find what is my weak point in life. Okay, So that's the way of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Others, like Rav Nachman of Breslov and Rav Shlomo Volbe. Have you heard of Rav Shlomo Volbe? Rav Shlomo Volbe was a very, very famous mashkiach in my time. I was studying yeshiva that time. First in Ber Yaakov, then he moved to Yerushalayim. And my chavruta was his disciple. You would ask him, you would ask Rav Shlomo Volbe. And there's books you can get today. Rav Shlomo Volbe, it's translated to English. They would encourage a person speaking to oneself as means of influencing the psyche. And they both advise using hidbodedut. Seclude yourself in a room and talk to yourself. Rabbi Nachman, seclude yourself in the forest and talk to yourself. Rabbi Nachman recommends talking to parts of the body one wishes to influence. My hands, why do you want to steal my hands? I want you to give tzedakah instead of stealing. My voice, why do you raise your voice and temper my voice? Be calm and peaceful. So a person is talking to themselves, the parts of the body. That's Rav Nachman. Rav Shlomo Volbe says, a person should talk to themselves as if explaining to another person. So talk to oneself in the third party. Okay, so Rav Volbe wrote the book, Aleshur. Okay, it's actually like four volumes, Aleshur. So both advise using hidbodedut. Rav Nachman recommends talking to parts of the body. Rav Shlomo Volbe says talk to oneself as talking to another person. Okay. So that's meditation and Musa. Let's move on to meditation and prayer. Because we try and do this three times a day. This is very, very important. We're trying to do this. The only problem is we're not doing it properly. That's the problem. If we did it properly, the truth is, we'd be praying a lot longer. It's hard to pray longer when you're praying with a minyan. It's very hard to have a 20-minute tefillah, or half an hour tefillah. Unless you pray with the Minyan or Mekubalim, right? You got a now tefillah. Yeah. Shmon Esrei is a long Shmon Esrei. But in yeshivot, it's a 20-minute Shmon Esrei. And that's without Kabbalah. That's just thinking about the words and saying the words properly and meditating about the words. So, let's talk about meditation and prayer. Where do we see this idea of meditation and prayer? Where do we see it in the Torah? So we find the Gemara, we're just learning this Gemara on Tuesday nights. The Gemara in Brachot, the Kafav, discusses the source, the origins of tefillah, three times a day. And one of the sources is the forefathers. Abraham Avinu got up in the morning and he went to pray. Yitzhak, it says, Vayetzeh Yitzhak Latsua Basadeh, light Erev. He went out in the field to talk in the evening time, towards the evening. And Yaakov, it says, Vayivga Bamakom V'yalen Sham, Ki Baha Shemesh. He prayed Arvit. But by Yitzhak, it says exactly the word for meditation. What is the word in Hebrew for meditation? Now, it's interesting. If you look at the words it used by Yitzhak, Vayetzeh Yitzhak Lasuach Basadeh. What's Lasuach? To talk, to speak. Who's he talking to? There's no one there. He's talking to Hashem. Lasuach Basadeh. Now, it's interesting because there's different words for speech. It doesn't say Ledaber, to speak in the field. It doesn't say Lemor. It doesn't say Lagid. It says Lasuach. You have to understand that. So Lasuach is meditation. Yitzhak went out to meditate. And apparently it was a practice to go outside inhabited places, to go and meditate outside. So Breslov didn't invent this. It's very Yitzhak Avinu. It's amazing. Think about it. Breslov did not invent leaving the city to meditate. Yitzhak Avinu leaves the city and he leaves his father's tents. He goes outside in the fields to meditate. Solitude is vital. And that's really, it's amazing. So now there's two kinds of solitude, we said. Solitude is, you go to a place no one's around. Or solitude is when you cut yourself off from the surroundings. When you pray Shmona Esrei with a minyan, you're meant to cut yourself off from other people. You're meant to pray with no, that's why men at least can put a talit over our heads. At least for Shachari. You're not aware. You're not meant to be aware of your surroundings. You're meant to cut yourself off from the surroundings. So there's two kinds of solitude. One is solitude, which is external solitude. And the other solitude is internal solitude. You know, some people, they're loners. They don't like being around people. And even when they're around people, they don't really talk to other people. So when they're outside, away from people, that's external solitude. When they're inside with people, it's internal solitude. So when a person prays, they're going to have solitude. Meditation. So it's internal solitude, external solitude. So we have to mentally divorce ourselves from all external ties. When a person prays to God, nothing else can matter. Why? Because He is the boss. He can provide you with whatever you want. That's, you know, that's not how we waste our time when we pray. A person doesn't think, I'm going to the boss, He has all the answers, He can provide me all my needs. So a person is praying to God and is still worrying. Why are you worrying if you're praying to God? You know, so it's ironic. It's an irony. So a person's got to pray and think, why am I praying? I'm praying because I believe Hashem has the answers. I believe Hashem. Oh, okay. Sometimes the answer is no. That's the problem. So that's where the worry comes in. I'm worried Hashem will say no. Right? I go to a rich man for a favor, and I'm worried he may say no. But if Hashem is our Father and Hashem loves us, even the no is good. That's the problem. That's what we have to think. That's emunah. Emunah is Hashem loves us. Hashem wants to do the good for us. So even Hashem's no is good for us. It's hard to accept. Because sometimes we think we know better than Hashem. Hashem says, I want you here. And I said, okay. So, but I want to be there. Why are you putting me here? I don't want to be here. I want to be there. Hashem said, stay here for a while. It's good for you. So that's we think, well, that's good for me. That's why every person can say, Gam Zula Tova, everything for the best. Koma David Rahman Adatav David. Whatever God does for the best. So it's important to divorce oneself from all external ties when a person prays. I'm now standing in front of Hashem. I don't think about anyone else, anything else. The only trouble is when you pray for people, you got to pray for people. They start thinking about them. So Refa'in, very classic. You pray for the sick, so you got a whole list of sick people. So it's hard to divorce yourself from the ties. Or say, please Hashem, bring back our judges. You think about the judges today. So you start thinking about politics today. Or Hashiveinu Avin Torah Techa, bring us back to your Torah. And you start thinking, let's pray for so and so to be a Baal Teshuva. You start thinking about other people. So it's very hard when you're praying for others to divorce yourself from situations. So if we're praying to Hashem, who's the master of everything, He can provide us with everything. He controls everything we have. So why should anything concern us? Why worry? So we have to divorce ourselves from people around us. And we also have to divorce ourselves from materialism. And that's what Shulchan Aruch says. We discussed this, right? The Shulchan Aruch himself says a person's got to divorce themselves from materialism to pray. Leave the material aside and let the soul stand before God. It's a spiritual service of God. It's not a physical service of God. So Yitzhak is meditating in the field. So you see over there, it's good to meditate in the field. And however, today is the opposite. Today we don't meditate in the field. It's not good to meditate in a place which is open. Interesting. Halakha. If you want to pray in a field, where do you pray? You pray in front of a bush or a tree. Just don't bow down to it. You pray in a private place. It's modesty, a sign of modesty. So Yitzhak prayed in a field. What does that mean, he prayed in a field? On a deeper level, the Zohar sees the field as a reference to the field of apples, which is a Kabbalistic view of Gan Eden. And the Zohar talks about Hakal Tapuchin Kadishi, a field of holy apples, right? It's a part of the song the Arizal wrote for Friday night. Hakata Bukhin Kadishin, the field of holy apples. And it says, when Yaakov went in to see Yitzhak, Yitzhak says, what does Yitzhak say? Reach beni kereach sadeh asher berachu Hashem. The smell of my son is like the smell of a field that God blessed. So Rashi says over there, an orchard of apples. Right? Rashi brings it over there. It's interesting. Very Kabbalistic. Very Kabbalistic. So that's where did Yitzhak pray? He prayed in the field of holy apples. What does that mean? Not in this world. His mind was elsewhere. His mind was linked to Gan Eden. Gan Eden. So he was praying. His mind was somewhere else. He imagined himself to be in Gan Eden when he's praying. And that's the idea. When a person prays, they're walking in the Garden of Eden. When one experiences the voice of Hashem walking in the garden, that's where Adam, he heard the voice of Hashem walking in the garden. It's amazing. When a person prays, think of himself, I'm not in this world now. I'm in a higher world. I'm in Gan Eden. That's a beautiful idea. So let's go a little bit into that. The Torah says, V'nahar yotze me'eden lahashkot et hagan. There's Eden, there's a river, and there's a gun. So what's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is the garden of Eden. Eden is higher up. There's a river from Eden going into the Gan. And that Gan is called Gan Eden, but it's really not Eden. Eden is higher up. And it's a different dimension, totally. It's a much higher dimension. It says the real tzaddikim are in the Eden, and the lower tzaddikim are in the Gan. It's a totally different place. What does Eden mean? Eden means delight. Eden means delight, in fact. There's a chocolate in Israel, or I think it's a yogurt. They make a chocolate yogurt. It's called Eden. So, why? Because Eden means delight. It's delightful. And some kids are called Eden. So it became a boy's name, Eden. Why? Because Eden means delight. Is it a boy's name or a girl's name? Whatever. They pick and choose. Whatever. Eden. So Eden is a delight. The delight of consciousness attaching the soul to the source of its soul. And from Eden flows a river, Nahar. Nahar Yotzeh Me'eden, a river. A river of pure wisdom into the Gan, into the Garden of Eden, into the Garden. What is the Gan? The Garden is consciousness. So Eden is delight, the source of the soul. From there comes Chokhmah. And Chokhmah comes down into Eden, into the Garden. And the Garden is the source of consciousness. Now it's very interesting. If you look at the first letters, Eden, right? Eden is Ayin. Nahar is the river that joins Eden to the Gan. So Nun, Ayin Nun. And Gan is Gimel. Aleph Nun Gimel, Oneg. Pleasure. Oneg. A person who link themselves, you can link your soul to the highest levels, to the Eden, to the Nahar, and to the Gan, is filled with pleasure. Oneg. And so a person who prays and feels that joy of prayer, that's really Oneg. They link themselves. Okay, it's very interesting. And the word Yitzhak was also very significant. Yitzhak, it says, he's the only one where we find that he spoke to God. It doesn't say about Abraham, he spoke. It doesn't say about Yaakov, he spoke. The rabbis interpret, he went there, he did something. He prayed. But by Yitzhak, it's explicit. By Yitzhak, Yitzhak, Lasuach, to talk in the field, to meditate in the field. So why Yitzhak was really the one where it says explicitly? And the answer is his name. Yitzhak means he will laugh. From the word tzachak, tzochek, which is to laugh, the tzadi. But there's another word, tzochek with a sin. Tzochek with a tzadi is to laugh. Tzochek with a sin is to play. So one is playing, or rejoicing, and one is laughing, okay? Okay. What does it say by Yishmael? Misachek. Right? He wasn't laughing, he was misachek, he was playing. Okay? So there's a link between sochek, laughing, and sochek. Tzadi and sin. What's the difference? Tzadi is harsh, it's hard, and sin is soft. So a person who is sochek is laughing, he's laughing loud. That's harsh. Sochek is the quiet laughter. It's enjoyment. Rejoicing. Internal rejoicing. And sochok is also related to the word suach. Sochok, it starts with sin chet is the root of the word siach, which is to talk. Yitzhak went out to talk in the field, which is the word for meditation, sicha. And so there's a linkage between laughter and joy and meditation. Amazing. Right? So what is the link? Okay. So the Zohar says an amazing thing. Does prayer come from a good source of light, or does prayer come from a source of darkness? What do you say, parents? Does prayer come from light or from darkness? So David HaMelech says, Tehillim, he says, "Mema'amakim kirati Hashem." I cried out to you, Hashem, from the depths. When is a person more likely to pray? When everything's happy or when things are sad? So it's amazing. Think about it. It's such an irony. When you need. So prayer is coming from a place of darkness. It's not coming from a place of light. How many people are so thankful they can't stop praying? Israel Hashem, we should be like that. Because we're going to see, according to Ramban, the whole purpose of this world is to thank Hashem. The whole purpose, we're alive, is to thank Hashem. Lagid baboker chazdecha v'munatcha balelot. David HaMelech says, Lagid baboker chazdecha. In the morning I will talk about your kindness, which is thank you. Lagid baboker chazdecha v'munatcha balelot. At night I will talk about your faith, that I trust in you, you're going to bring me back my soul. Right? But in the morning, I thank you. That's why the first word we say in the morning is thank you. Because our whole existence is based on this word, thank you. Modim anachnu lach. Thank you, Hashem. We admit to you. Shatahu Hashem lakeinu, that you are our God. So Yitzhak is linked to laughter, and through schok, through joy, and through suach, through prayer. And it's a transition, right? Prayer makes a person happy. Is it coming from a place? For example, his mother, Sarah, how old was she? When she had a baby? 90 years old. She's 90 years old. Right? So can you imagine, she's praying. Where are those prayers coming from? It's coming from a prayer of darkness. She's depressed. I don't have a baby who's, I don't have anything to show. I don't want Yishmael to inherit Abraham. I want to have my own kids. It's a shame. Who's Yishmael? He's going to mess up the whole thing. So she prayed and prayed and prayed, and when she prayed and she was answered, she lit up the world. Her world was lit up, and she's laughter, joy, laughter. So it's very interesting. The prayer comes from a place of darkness, but the prayer could lead to a place of light. That's amazing. And Divrei HaYamim says, Oz v'chedva b'mkomo, strength and joy in his place. Strength and joy, this is the paradigm of prayer. Strength and joy. Why? Because to pray you need strength. Why do you need strength to pray? Because I don't have this. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to give up. No, you need to be strong. Because of these strengths to pray, when things are down, to pray, and that prayer could change everything into joy. So strength and joy in its place, in the place, Hashem's place. Okay, so the nature of Hashem's presence is chok, supreme joy. Around Hashem is pure joy, and by person pray with joy and with strength. Right? What is strength? Strength is the strength of mind, to focus the mind, meditation. Person strengthens the mind. So hard to strengthen the mind. So hard to meditate. That's the strength. A person should pray through joy and strength. So what is a joy? The rabbis say, it's not joy of laughter, it's joy of a mitzvah. So that's why it's good to give staka before you pray. But joy of mitzvah. So joy and strength. Strength is meditation, and joy is happiness of a mitzvah. Very interesting. Okay. So now, let's move back a little bit. Because last week we talked about Torah learning. And Torah learning, we said, has two purposes. One purpose of Torah learning is to learn Torah. I want to learn Torah. Lilmod, lamed, lishmor, v'lasot. I want to learn in order to learn. I want to learn in order to teach. I want to learn in order to keep the mitzvot. I want to learn in order to do mitzvot. So I want to acquire Torah knowledge. And I want to learn what God's will is, because God's will is in the Torah. The second purpose is so I can cleave to Hashem through the Torah. Because the Torah is a vehicle for us to reach Hashem. Right? And that's the part most people don't do. Most people don't do that. Most people learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah, which is very good. I want to learn Torah. I want to know how to do it. I want to do mitzvot. I want to learn how to be a Jew. I want to learn how to keep things. But they don't learn Torah in order to cleave to Hashem. Because the Torah says to cling to Hashem. How do you cling to Hashem? So the answer is through the Torah. If this is Hashem's will, I'm clinging to Hashem's will by learning His Torah. So too, tefillah has two purposes. One is to ask for one's needs, and two is to come closer to Hashem. So I've got to ask for my needs and come closer to Hashem. So asking Hashem to fulfill our needs cultivates the belief that only He can truly provide and look after us. And this is a very famous Rashba. The Rashba was Shlomo ben Aderet. Shlomo ben Aderet was chief rabbi of Spain. And 1235 to 1310. And he writes, a person praying has to clearly realize that all success comes from Hashem. He rules everything. Nothing can stop Him. He alone provides all necessities, for He alone is the master, and all of us are His servants. And before a person prays, we've got to realize why we're praying to Hashem. We're praying to Hashem because He's the boss. He's the boss, He can provide, He's everything. But prayer, so prayer has two purposes. Number one is I need something. Number two is I want to get close, I want to cling to Hashem. How do you cling to Hashem? And the truth is, you know, it's interesting, because if a person wouldn't have troubles in their lives, they wouldn't pray. And if they don't pray, they're not connected to Hashem. The prayers connect a person to Hashem. A person feels it. David HaMelech, for example. David HaMelech had the most troubles more than anyone else in the world. And what did that do for him? He became the most connected person in the world to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Yeah. You can't have a guy in more troubles, right? He lost his family. Early age. He lost his mother. He lost his father. What do you mean lost them? He didn't lose them. He lost them because he was taken away from them. He was adopted into Paro's palace, a place where he hated. And then he had to run away from Egypt because whatever. And he runs into exile. He's an exile, a stranger from being a strange land. A stranger from a strange land. It's galut mi galut. Two galuts. Right? They say that about the Spanish expulsion. The Jews in Spain were in exile. the Jews, when they're thrown out of Spain, were in exile from exile. Don't you think about it? Jews are in exile from exile all the time. We're in exile from exile. Amazing. So a person's got to realize the two purposes of prayer. Number one purpose is to ask to get things, and number second purpose is to get closer to Hashem. Closer to Hashem. So this is an essential part, a step to getting to Dveikut. And it's the biblical injunction of turning to Hashem in times of trouble. Right? So it's a mitzvah to pray when a person is in trouble. And this is brought down by the Ramban. There's a difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. And the Rambam says, mitzvahi, to pray. It's mitzvah number 5 in the Rambam, Sefer Mitzvot, positive mitzvot. And why? We learn it out from the mitzvah. Va'avadetem et Hashem lekichem. You will serve the Lord your God. And you will serve him. Again, it repeats it a few times. What is the service of God? So he says, he brings down the Sefri, in a yesh bo yichud acher shu tzivui litvila. It is the mitzvah to pray. To serve God is to pray. According to Rambam, serve God is to pray. The Ramban says, no! To serve God, he brings out another opinion, different opinion. To serve God is to learn Torah. Serve God is to learn Torah. I'm interested, machloket between Rambam and Ramban, which is already a machloket in the Gemara and in the Sifra and the Sifri. So it's an old machloket. But Rambam holds mitzvah of lovdo, to serve Hashem is through prayer. The Ramban holds the mitzvah to serve Hashem is through learning Torah. So when do you do? When you pray, according to Ramban. So Ramban says, we learn it out from a different source. And that is, the Torah tells us, when there's trouble in the city, right, and you're blowing the shofar, cry out to Hashem. That's when you cry out to Hashem. So he brings down a whole list of things, right, when there's troubles in the city. For example, the army is around the city, there's locusts are in the city, there's famine, there's wars, there's all sorts of things. The Ramban says, that's when you pray. Why? Because that's when you need Hashem the most, and that is going to cause you to have a connection to Hashem. When you don't need Hashem, it's hard to connect. When you need Hashem, that's when you connect. So it's a very important machloket over here between the Rambam and the Ramban. Rambam says, ulovdo, service of Hashem is prayer. Ramban says, no, service of Hashem is Talmud Torah. But prayer is there for emergencies, when you really need Hashem. Because when you need him, that's when you're going to connect. And that's what the mitzvah brought it back. You cling to him. Cling to Hashem. So it's interesting, because I never thought about this. This is new. What is the word for prayer? Tefillah. What is the root of the word tefillah? So it's interesting. Palel, literally palel. Right? But there's another, if you look at the word tefillah, it's got the word also petil in it. Petil is a woven string. A twine. It's twined together. So twine is, by tefillah, I'm twining myself with Hashem. I'm linking myself with Hashem. I'm weaving myself to Hashem. So tefillah is also linked to the word petil. But we say in the Shema, petil techelet, right? Petil techelet, petil is a woven, it's a thread which is twisted from different threads together. So when a person prays, they're attaching themselves and twining themselves to Hashem. And the Zohar says, tefillah is an opportunity to approach Hashem, to enter his palace. Its essence in communion with Hashem in the psyche's innermost chambers. And the psyche's innermost chambers, and this is the hard part, this is the hard thing. We have to remember this, and it's so hard to keep it clean. The psyche's innermost chambers is one's own Kodesh HaKodeshim. Where is a person's Kodesh HaKodeshim? The holiest of the holy? Inside a person's subconscious, in the psyche. That's scary. So what we think about in this Holy of Holies, we're either defiling it, or we're sanctifying it. It's very important to sanctify the Holy of Holies. Person has good thoughts, pure thoughts, it's Holy of Holies. Person has bad thoughts, they're just defiling the Holy of Holies. So it's very, very powerful. This concept is very powerful, but it's very hard to internalize. So he said, how do you internalize something? We were talking about how Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, meditation. And the answer is repeat it over and over again. Repeat it with warmth, and heat and scream it and emotion. But I should say, my innermost thoughts are my whole Kodesh HaKodeshim. My innermost thoughts are my Kodesh HaKodeshim. My innermost thoughts are my Kodesh HaKodeshim. Until eventually it sinks into the subconscious. Why? Because that's where the soul resides. That's where we whisper praises to God. Where emotion unites with truth. And that's how we link to Hashem. So our Holy of Holies links to Hashem's Holy of Holies. Just like we say that the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim is linked to the Beit HaMikdash in the world above it. And in Zekim Beit HaElokim Zeh Shaar HaShemayim. The house of God below is the gate of heaven above. They're linked. So to our Holy of Holies are linked to God's Holy of Holies. The soul gets energy from above. So they link in the Holy of Holies in the mind. Tefillah also points to another vital part of prayer. And lit palel comes from the word palel. Palel means to imagine. To imagine. Or mit palel causes oneself to imagine. Prayer is an exercise in visualizing. Using words to shape and sharpen one's feeling of being before God. And verbalizing that visualization. The truth is, when a person prays, the highest level of prayer is not using a siddur, just envisioning. Let the letters float in front of your eyes, inside your mind. This is Baruch Atah Hashem. A person should see Bet, Resh, Vav, Chaf inside their mind. Imagine. A person is praying, but they're not praying from the siddur, but they're seeing the siddur in the head. That's very important. To be able to do that, that's already a high level of meditation. To be able to see the letters floating in front of your head when you're praying. See some people, they close their eyes and they pray. They don't use the siddur, but they see the letters in front of the head. It's amazing. So that's the holy part of prayer, is to imagine. Imagining what? Imagining one's feeling of being before Hashem. So before, we never prayed. We never had prayer books. The Chazan would pray. And everyone else would just say, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemon, Amen. That's it. So what was there? What was the avodah? I'm listening to him and I'm fulfilling my obligation. So what am I doing? Where's my avodah? If prayer is called avodah, service of God, what service is that? I'm not doing anything. I'm just saying, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemu, Amen. What's my service? And the answer to the service is to imagine that I'm standing before God. He's saying the words, but I'm standing before God. Right? It's like you go into court and your lawyer does all the talking. But it's you standing in front of God. It's you standing in the front of the bench. It's your court case, it's not the lawyer's court case. So he's your lawyer, the Chazan is your lawyer. But you're the one standing before God. That's the Avodah. The Avodah is to imagine, Palel, Tfilah, to imagine I'm standing before God. Though one should use the Siddur to help one's focus, it is important not to merely read the words, but to feel that you are standing and speaking before God. That's the key. And that's even before you start the Shemona Esrei. Don't start until you know where you're standing. A person should not stop. Hashem's flight is there. A person should stop and say, think, I'm now standing in front of God. I'm going back 3 steps because I'm scared. I'm running away like the Jews ran away from Mount Sinai. I'm going forward 3 steps because I'm going into the Holy Presence. And it's a totally different way of praying. Totally different perspective. Okay. Let's just do a little bit more. So the concept that you are speaking directly to Hashem and He is listening is a secret of effective tefillah. Okay. So just the concept. And we find in Bava Kamma, right at the beginning of Bava Kamma, it's interesting because this week's Parashah Mishpatim is the 3 big tractates of Shas. 3 big tractates of the Gemara. Bava Kamma, Bava Metzia, Bava Batra. In Parashah Mishpatim, chapter 22, 23 of Shemot. Just imagine, 2 chapters of Shemot, you got 3 big masechtot. And in the yeshiva, that's what they learn, those masechtot. Mainly, those are the main masechtot in the yeshiva. Nezikin, laws of damages. Civil law. It's a quarter of the Shulchan Aruch. This week's parasha is a quarter of the Shulchan Aruch. Think about it. Hard to imagine. Even. It's probably more because he even has the laws, some laws of women as well. Sheirak, Shutav, Orata, or the laws of... So some of the laws over there, and Ketubah. Also, so imagine it's more than a quarter of the Shulchan Aruch of this week's parasha. But over there, it's interesting because right at the beginning of Bava Kamma, it talks about the 4 avot nizakin. There are 4 main headings of damages, things that damage. Hashor, the ox, which applies to any animal. You have a vicious dog, you have a wild dog, whatever it is. Sure. Habor, things you do. You create damage in the public domain by throwing a bottle in the public domain, by throwing a banana peel in the public domain, by digging a pit, that's a bore. That's a pit. If I put something in the public domain which doesn't belong there, that is the pit in the public domain. It's the equivalent of digging a pit. Hamaveh ve'abe'er. Be'er is a well. Right? Be'er is a fire, right? I lit a fire in my property, and the fire travels. So it's another way of causing damage. And be'er, and the fourth one is maveh. And the question is, what is maveh? But one of the opportunities, one of the things that Gemara says, maveh is a human being. And it brings a pasuk where it talks about, from Yeshaya, I think it is, where it talks about that a man moves their lips and prays, maveh. It's from the word. Maveh is from the word to pray. So it's interesting. That's the roots of a person is to pray. There's an interesting Ramban over here. Ramban in the Chumash at the end of Parashat Bo. The purpose of all the commandments. Okay, look at this. Only Ramban can say these things. The purpose of all the commandments is that we believe in Hashem and be thankful to Him for creating us. Big secret. No one knows it. We should believe in Hashem. Imagine a person does a mitzvah. Why are you doing a mitzvah? Well, I'm doing a mitzvah to sanctify myself. Hashem says, I'm sanctifying myself. I want to bring myself closer to Hashem. Very good. I want to bring myself closer to Hashem. To do what? To say thank you to Him. Well, the bracha is a thank you. So be thankful to Him for having created us. Really, that's the main purpose of creation. A person's got to think about that. We know of no other reason for the creation, Ramban says. The only reason for creation is that we say thank you to Him. Hashem has no demand on the lower creatures, excepting the person should know and be thankful to Hashem for having created him. The purpose of raising our voices in prayer and of all the prayers of the synagogues, and as well as the merit of public prayer, is precisely this, that people should have a place where they assemble and express their thankfulness to Hashem for having created them. Wow. It's worth coming just to hear that. Right? The purpose of creation is for us to thank Hashem. Us to be grateful to Hashem and thank Hashem. And that's the purpose of tefillah. The purpose of tefillah is to thank Hashem. Well, that's how we end off tefillah. Okay, I'm going to stop here. And next week, Bezrat Hashem, we'll go a bit further. Tefillah.